Well, thank you. Wasn't that good? Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and look at the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Look at verse 15. Well, the Bible says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord," and by the way, I would hope it would not seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. But the Bible says, "But if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell." Joshua makes a very bold statement. He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As we talk about family values, let me give you some things tonight about investing as a family. Sometimes we look at our families and we say it is a puzzle that's unfilled, yet even incomplete, and we don't know where to put the next piece. But God gives us pieces in which we can put in a family puzzle that will make things very clear and that will help us to be able to understand directives in our life as we train our children and as we live our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." That means to guard your heart. It says, "For out of it are the issues of life." The word "issues" could be the same word as decisions. So God says to guard your heart, and that way when you guard your heart, you make the right decisions in life. Now, how is it that we can guard our hearts? What is it that we can do to be able to make the right decisions in life? What is it that we could do as individuals in a family and yet collectively as a family unit to invest our individual lives and the lives of our families in the right direction? I'm going to give you a couple of them tonight. Statement number one, invest time in God's Word. Invest time in God's Word. Let me give you a thought. D.L. Moody wrote one time on an old piece of paper, said that God will keep you, the Bible will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the Bible. And by the way, that's true. You know, if a person is living in sin, normally, more times than not, they're not going to get in the Bible. But if a person is living in the Bible, then that person will probably not be tempted as much or succumb to the temptation as much to walk in sin. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those," it says, "who by reason of use." Now wait a minute, watch what it talks about here. By reason of use of what? It says, "have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, what's it talking about? Those that are able to consume strong meat. Those that are able to say, "I'm full of age." When you think of somebody that's full of age, I think perhaps of an older person that would have about them the status of maturity. What is maturity? Maturity is that which is growing from that which is an immature state of being to that which is a more mature state of being. So here's an individual that has grown up to become mature. One of the ways that we grow in maturity is this. Instead of taking and having a schedule where you say, "I'm going to walk through the Bible," stay with my thought, "I'm going to walk through the Bible every year," why don't you do that backwards and let the Bible walk through you? Instead of saying, "I'm going to read the Bible," why don't you become so consumed with the Bible that the Bible has free liberty to read you? You know, the Bible is a mirror. As we look into the mirror of God's Word, if we allow the Holy Spirit of God, He will draw, if you would please, a skeletal draw around you, which is a true picture of who you really are. And so we understand this tonight. We understand that it's very, very true that strong meat does belong to those that are full of age. You know, there's some people that would come to an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, preaching church like this one is and always will be. And they would come to a church like this and they will hear strong messages, and those strong messages might not set well with them. And those strong messages, they might not want to handle, nor might they want to bite into, because strong meat belongs to those that are full of age. It belongs to those, if you would please, that are allowing that to strengthen them, to exercise their very senses. Now wait a minute. Did you know that when you know much, to whom much is given, talk to me a little bit, to whom much is given, much is? Is that not true? All right? So God says, I'm giving you much, therefore I'm going to require much out of you. I was walking in the field praying before the service. And I was walking back there behind the buses along the wooded area. And I was praying before the service. And boy, I just became thankful. I was thinking back over my heritage. And I just became very thankful. And I thought of Dr. Hatch. And I thought of Ruby. And I thought of Lee Robertson. And was thankful. And for Tom Malone. And for all those ones. Brother Hiles, and all those different ones that had a wonderful influence in my heritage. Now, may I say this? It's good to have influence by people. It is better to have that which is an influence by God. And the way that you have an influence by God is to walk within the pages of God, understanding. Now, how is it that you can understand? Here's what you do. When you read the Bible, read it prayerfully. Read it prayerfully. Bow your head in prayer for just a little bit and say, Dear God, please show me things in the Word of God that I need in my life, that my family needs in their life, that will make a difference. Ask Him to lead you as you read the Bible. Statement number one. Statement number two, read it consistently. Be constant at it. Consistently read the Bible. What is your walk with God like today? Read the Bible. You say, but I need an antidote because I have this problem. Every single problem, I promise you, every single problem, every single complexity, every single question is answered in the confines of God's Word. There is no book that can answer your questions, help you with your complexities, help you with your troubled spirit more than the Word of God. So you read it consistently. You say, well, you know, every meal, I don't get something out of every meal. Well, you might not taste something out of every meal, but when you come to church and you hear that which is a meal being delivered, the Holy Spirit of God will use that to strengthen your soul. You know, you can take vitamins and you might not see zap, it changes you. You can take a certain herb and you might not see zap, it is working inside of you. But after the durational amount of time of consistently taking that vitamin, taking that herb or that new nutritious supplement or whatever it is, after a period of time, here's what happens, you begin to tell that there's a difference. Now, by the way, you would tell in here quicker than you would tell out here, because He will work on you inside. So what do? You read it prayerfully. You read it consistently. You read it with that which is an anticipation. Read it anticipating something. Look at every verse. God's got something. Look for God to speak to your heart in one phrase. Look for God with an excitability, by the way. Look for God to speak to your heart. There's a gold nugget in there somewhere for you today. And so what you do is when you read your Bible, don't do this. Please don't do this. Don't pick your Bible up and say, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it through in 1 year. Well, it'd be better for your Bible to read you through. It would be better for you to find, as you're reading, something to meditate thereupon and something that you allow to go into the depth of your soul that's going to change you forever than just to read the Bible through in a speedy, careless fashion and just to be able to say, I got the ribbon of reading my Bible through this year. Now, I'm all for reading the Bible through. I told Charlotta, Brother Owen's daughter, when she was here last week visiting with the Nashes and our family, I told Charlotta, I said, I thank God for you. You know, her and my daughter read the Bible together and been doing it for some time. And my daughter's all excited about her Bible reading at night. And she said, I'm on the mark to read it through two times this year. And I'd rather have a daughter that's excited about reading the Bible through two times this year than somebody that's not reading theirs at all. All right. Now, may I say there is an anticipation. Have an anticipation about God's Word. By the way, if you let God's Word start to reign in here, it will change you out here. All right? Now, so read it. Read it and read it with a learning mind. Get a pen in your hand. Underscore, underline things. Take notes in special areas of your Bible. And a Bible that has notes in means it's a studied Bible. And so take some notes in your Bible. So I picked up one of the boys from Commonwealth was here this past weekend, came to our services, and boy, they looked sharp as a tack. And three of the guys came and said, well, we listened to you preach, and we wanted to come by and see it for ourselves, and heard about the auditorium. And so they came by, and I was excited to meet these young preacher boys. And we gathered out there in the lobby, and one of the preacher boys opened up his Bible, and he said, preacher, will you sign my Bible? Well, when he opened up the Bible for me to sign his Bible, it fell apart. And all we was left was with the cavity of the Bible. I mean the outerness of the Bible. And he was so red-faced, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, don't apologize, because when you have a worn Bible, that's a very good, very good sign that you're using it. All right? And so invest time in God's Word. Statement number two, invest time in praying. Invest time in praying. The Bible says, and I love this, don't you? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and verse 8, where the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Well, the Greek tense of which that is written is in a continual tense. It's in a state of continuance. And so it's not talking about, it's a continual state of being. It's not talking about you simply just ask one time. It's not talking about that you seek just one time. It's not talking about that you knock only one time. But it's a continuance. And what that means is this. You just ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. You say, well, God's going to get tired of me asking. No. You'll get more tired of asking than he will of hearing you ask. Because he's the one that commands you to do it that way. Well, you know, I asked and he's not answered prayer. Why don't you put the three-letter little word behind what you just said, yet. Yet. Why don't you just say he's not answered prayer? And don't forget that three little letter word yet. And you just keep praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And the Bible talks about how you're supposed to knock and knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. You know, when it talked about the one that came to beg bread for a friend that had stopped by during the night, the Bible says that the man rose up because of his importunity. What did that mean? That meant that his consistent no quit is what that meant. He just kept knocking and 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 knocking. I don't know how many times that God has come through and showed himself strong because I went to him and I just kept praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And finally, I don't know if he would answer prayer because I annoyed him, or I don't know if he answered prayer because it was good for me. I don't know why. I don't really care why. I just did what the Bible said, and the Bible is true. Now, watch this. My favorite prayer verse in all of the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Now, Jeremiah said, look, he said, boy, I tell you what, I know this is true. And Jeremiah, the old weeping prophet, you know, but he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Now, may I say, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to say, well, God, I'm going to call upon you, and I'm not sure if you're going to answer. No. Oh, you pick the baseball bat up, and the ball's going to come your way anyway. You just swing. You have the responsibility of swinging. I don't know if anybody's going to get saved when I go soul winning or not, but I'm still going soul winning. I don't know what I'm going to get out of church when I go to church, but I'm still going to church. I don't know how my children will respond to discipline or how they'll respond to strong love or how they'll respond to the way I am as a daddy, but I'm still going to do what I'm supposed to do by way of daddy. I still will. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying statement number one, how is it that we can invest as a family? Here's what we do. We invest time in God's Word. Statement number two, you invest time in praying. Now, talk to God. Talk to God. Tell God how much you need Him every day. Tell Him how much you love Him every day. Tell Him how thankful you are. You know, you can't help when you talk to God to become thankful. Unless you're ingrate. You can't help it. Man, I was walking down there in the field and just praying and having some private time, alone time today. And behind those old buses back there, walking along the wooded area and just praying. And boy, as I was praying, God just filled my heart and said, Mike, boy, you sure do have it pretty good. And boy, I just start to be thankful. You know, when you start to be thankful for things, that's when God can move in. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying invest time praying. Statement number three, invest time hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Now, hear the preaching because I'll tell you why, it transforms. There's nothing, oh, I wish you could get this. This is just not another book. This is the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. You've got it right there in that King James. It's right there. It's right there. You know, God gave us the Bible, and it's right here. This is not a math book. This is not a social. Don't put this on your shelf and say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just read that when I have time. This ought to be top priority in your life. This is God speaking to you. This is God speaking to you. This is God telling you how to behave. This is God telling you how you ought to live so that you can please Him. And by the way, He is God. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world. So what happens? If you're not careful, you will become conformed. God don't want you to be conformed. Here's what He says. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here's what He says. He says, I don't want you to be an individual that is conforming, but I want you to be an individual that is transforming. Conforming is the outward exterior. Transforming starts inside. All right? And so I am supposed to be transformed. And the Bible says, how do I do that? By the renewing of my mind. Look, there is nothing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. How is it that I can make it? God's son is supposed to meditate in the Word of God day and night. That's where success comes from. That's where prosperity comes from. All right, let that Bible, I dare you to get in the Bible so much that it will change you from who you are today to who you will be 5 months from now. Because when you get in that Bible will do a work inside of you that no man can do, no preacher can do, no pastor can do. This book is the book from heaven, and this book will change you forever. All right? And so, what do? Well, hear preaching often. Hear preaching often. You know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of? Talk to me. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of? The more you hear that book, the more He builds your faith. Now, you can be in church and not hear it. You can be in church and on your cell phone, talking to your friend next to you, telling them, well, let me tell you that. You know, you can do it and not hear it. By the way, you can be here and not being rude and talking, but you can be here and be zoned out. You can bring all your troubles to church. Leave your troubles at the front door. Come in. Let God have a clean shot at you. Then if God doesn't clean you up and help you, then pick your troubles up and take them on your own way when you leave. But at least give God a clean shot at you. Now watch this, if you will. So hear preaching. By the way, hear the same type of preaching from the same perspective. Now, don't get me wrong, but I want to tell you who we are. We are a fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church. We're not Southern Baptists. We're not Southern Baptists. If you go to a Southern Baptist church, you're going to hear different preaching that comes from this pulpit. You go to a non-denominational church, you're going to hear different preaching than what comes from this pulpit. Can I tell you, let me common sense it with you just a little bit. You don't go to different doctors, you go to one. Every time you have to go to the dentist, you normally have one. Now you know why? Well, first off, you don't want to pay the x-ray fee all over again. But when you go to a chiropractor, normally you pick one. By the way, most of you pick the one seat that you sit in all the time. We are creatures of habit. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and the chef really wasn't who he said he was? And you said, upon leaving, I'm not coming back here. You know why? Because you knew that probably they were not going to change their kitchen staff out just for you. Have you done that? All right. Can I tell you, attending church is not a popularity contest. Well, I'm going to attend this church this week, and this church I'm going to attend next week, and this church. Oh, you never will amount to anything for God. Because of the fact you need that same time. Can I tell you? Let me tell you how God deals with preachers. Let me tell you a little bit. Here's how God deals with preachers. The preacher is supposed to be a man enough of God that he walks with God. Now stay with me. And so when he preaches, he gives you a full course meal. Sometimes God will break the messages up and you'll hear a portion of it, a getting ready portion of it, maybe on a Sunday morning, a closer to the full need on a Sunday night, and the completion of the need on a Wednesday night. But we live in such a fast-paced, crazed society that here's what we want to do. We want to go to church, shoot me up real good, and I want it all right now. Straighten me up. Help me. Make me fly right. But sometimes it takes a long time. Oh, come on. Now, let's go back. You don't treat your doctor that way. And you don't treat your dentist that way. And you don't treat your chiropractor that way. Chiropractor moves up and down the back of your spine and presses that. And then he presses that. And you're kind of sore as you're walking out. And the chiropractor secretary says, that'd be $125. You write the check. And she says, when would you like to come back? And you're saying, I don't know if I want to come back. Number one, he hurt me. And then he had the audacity to charge me when he hurt me. And now you're wanting me to come back. You know what you do? Well, I guess I could come back next week. Let me look. Let me think. And you pull out your smartphone and you look at your calendar. Say, well, okay, I got a slot. I can make it over here now. And you schedule it and you put it in your smartphone to remind you. And then, or whatever you got, you know, I don't know. But you, a 3x5 card or a sticky note on the forehead. And so you remind yourself and you go back, knowing you're going to hurt again. But you know that through the hurt, eventually, you're going to get better. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Well, I don't like going to that dentist. He's going to clean my teeth again. But you need it. You do need it. Well, I don't like going to see that doctor because that doctor's going to give me nasty medicine that I've got to take. And who wants to take the nasty medicine? Well, you might not want to, but you may need to. See, let me help you about church. Not always when you come to church are you going to get what you think you need. But stay with me now. Stay with me now. But you got to understand the Word of God is like that medicine you put in. It begins to work in here. Might be hard to swallow to begin with, But if you swallow it and you take it and it goes inside and all of a sudden God begins to strengthen your soul, God begins to make you what you're supposed to be. He begins to develop that character inside of you. And before you know it, now you made a decision and you say, wow, boy, I made that decision. It's based on something I heard 3 months ago. Brother Edipi and I used to go out soul winning. When Brother Edipi and I would go out soul winning, I'd knock at the door. I'd witness somebody, and sure enough, as soon as I get done, here's what he'd say. He would say, now look, you need to come on Sunday because let me tell you what God did in my life. Boy, I learned this from the Bible this past week. And he was always telling what he learned from the Bible. You know, now that showed me he was paying attention. All right, now wait a minute. So hear the preaching from the same perspective. Are you ready? Hear preaching with expectation. Expect something. Now wait a minute. You got to look. You can't come in and say, oh, well, I tell you what, preacher should be so good that he lays it out in my lap and it is just, wow. Okay, now wait a minute. Sometimes it will be that way. Sometimes it will be you have to look a little bit and say, I really need something tonight. I need something to strengthen me tonight. And you look for it, and God will give it to you. All right? Then you hear preaching with a realization that it's not just the message that is meant to help, if you would please, for you to change. It might be something your child needs. It might be something that you're going to put in your coffer, and you're going to be able to withdraw that, like we talked about on Sunday morning, out of your spiritual backpack that you can use later on in life. That you'll be able to say, boy, I remember a preacher saying this, and as he said that, whoa, now! And the Holy Spirit is very good. He's your private tutor to bring that back to your remembrance. Statement number one, invest time in God's Word. Statement number two, invest time in prayer. Statement number three, invest hearing, that which is the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Statement number four, I'm almost done. Here we go. Invest time in Christian fellowship. Fellowship. Look for those you can fellowship with. Now, I'm talking about investing as your family. Psalm 122, and in verse 1, the Bible says, I was glad. This is David speaking. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. He said, boy, I was so glad about that. By the way, you listen to his attitude before he gets to the house of the Lord. He said, I was so glad. Now, by the way, how do you feel when you come to the house of the Lord? Well, I had to make myself go, and I don't really want to be there, and well, it's not doing you much good. Now, you still ought to come, because eventually God is going to do something inside of you. And by the way, his word does not return void, and he's already doing something inside of you. Oh, you don't have the quiver, and you don't have the excitability right now, and you're not you're not on cloud nine just yet, but it'll come eventually. It will come eventually. All right? And so you fellowship with like-minded Christian. Like begets like. You fellowship with like-minded Christians. Okay, fellowship the majority of the time in a positive, think about this if you would please, neutral environment. Somebody that is positive, if you will, not negative, because as like begets like, unlike begets unlike. You hang around a negative person that's negative about the Bible, about church, about the preacher, about your Sunday school teacher, about your youth director, about your mama, about your daddy, you're showing me who you're going to become. Because the person you hang around, the influence that they wager on you is what you will become. You know, when you hang around somebody that's positive all the time and they're just, boy, I tell you what, God is so good. And by the way, can I tell you what? People that are walking, the Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that he is what? You can't come to church and taste of the Lord and walk away negative. You can't do it. It's impossible. Now, you can come to church and not taste of him and be negative. But whether you taste of him or not is up to you, because he gives you food and you choose whether to taste of it or not. But you can't blame that on a preacher. The tasting is in your ballpark, not the preacher's ballpark. All he does is serve it. All he does is give it out. You choose whether to pick it. We have on our counter in our kitchen, we have fruit. We like fruit. And so we have fruit. We have a fruit bowl. And inside that fruit bowl, always fresh bananas, always fresh apples, always fresh oranges. Oh, now, wait a minute. Now, that stuff can sit there and rot and eventually stink up the whole house. You show me a Christian that's sitting in a pew and he's rotting, he'll stink up everything around him. But you show me a Christian that's coming and tasting of the Lord. And as they're tasting of the Lord, there's that positiveness that they have in their life. Because you cannot taste of the Lord and be negative. You can't taste of the Lord and be a sourpuss. You can't. It's impossible. Okay? Either that or God's a liar and God's not a liar. All right? And so fellowship with many, never exclusively. Don't do this. Don't. Now, well, you know, I have this one good friend. Now, can I tell you, you're not wise. You're not wise. Because if your buddy ever falls, you're going to fall or be tempted to. You know, I've told my children all over the years, I said, be friends of all, best friends of none. Be friends of all, best friends of none. You know, you learn to be friends with many people. Many, oh, okay, it's like the mutual fund. Go ahead. You go ahead and you be one of these people that invest in day trading. Now, you better know what you're doing to invest in day trading. Because as quick as it goes up, is as quick as it goes down. You better be very well schooled before you invest in day trading. But you can take a same amount of money, put it in a mutual fund that is diversified over 100 different companies or over 1,000 different companies, and all 1,000 of those companies would have to crash before you lost your money. Now, that's the way it ought to be with your friendships. You ought to have so many friends that if one goes bad, or one becomes a sourpuss, or one becomes negative, or one goes into the world, or one goes out and they pull a lame brain stunt, that it doesn't ruin your life. But if you just have one person, well, I've got this one. I'll tell the story. And we were in New York City many years ago. And I will not say names, but New York City many years ago. And somebody that was a hero of a young lady had fallen. Now, by the way, when we say have fallen, do you understand that man chooses what they do? Right. You understand that? I mean, fallen, you choose where to step that creates a fall. You don't have to step there. You just choose to step there. You could step somewhere else. All right? And so there was a hero a young lady had in her life, and he had fallen. Well, this young lady came running frantically to us and saying, my hero has fallen, my hero has fallen, my hero has fallen, and I'm going to quit, I'm going to give up. And we said, oh, be quiet. The problem is you're following a personality and not a principle. And when you follow a personality, if the personality has a big grip on you, whatever decision they make, you'll wind up making it whether it's principle related or not. That's like you got your own little pope. You can't do that. Your life needs to be centered around truth, not a personality. Now watch this, if you will. So fellowship with many, never exclusively with just one. Okay, we as individuals will make the difference in our homes and in our churches. You know what a church is comprised of? It's comprised of homes, individuals. That's what it's comprised of. All right, statement number next, and I'm done. I said invest time in God's Word, invest time in prayer, invest time in hearing the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Invest time in Christian fellowship. Here I go, I'm done. Invest time in Christian service. Christian service. Do something. Do something. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay? How are you serving the Lord as a family? Get a family ministry. What are you doing as a family? What can you do as a family through your local church? What can you do as a family? Are there ministries that you're actively involved in as a family? You know, strong families, those strong family ties, if you would please, they have common goals. They're stretching out to reach those goals. Let me give you some ideas, okay? A family singing group. Brother Palmore came up with the idea, and I think it was you who came up with the idea, but had family singing tryouts. Okay, well, have a family singing group. Have a time where the family goes and they visit somebody in the hospital. A family time. Let your kids see you love it on somebody else other than you. But a family time. A family time of maybe going out soul winning. A family time. Mrs. Wells and I, we're partners on every Thursday night. Every Thursday night we go. That's our time to go together. And we go out soul winning together on Thursday night. On Saturday, I take men. She takes ladies. Any lady wants to go with my wife or any man that wants to go with me, I'll take men. She'll take ladies. And we go out. We do some door knocking. We do some follow-up. Okay? All right? And family could do this. Family could work a bus route. A family could visit people in the nursing home. Hey, you want to see how to make people happy? Go to the nursing home with those dear, blessed people that have nobody that cares about them. And go by and sing to them. Go by and talk to them. Go by and read a poem to them. Go by, if you will, and spend some time with them. All right? Then a family could do this. You could help clean church. Oh, that's below me. Well, then get where it is below you and clean it. But a family could help clean church. A family could do this. You can invite families over your house to fellowship. Did you hear what I said? Well, I don't know anybody. Invite them over your house. You'll get to know them if you invite them over the house. They're going to come. They're going to eat your food, sit in your living room, prop their feet up on that no-no furniture. Invite them over your house. You say, well, I don't know who to invite. Pick anybody. Can't go wrong. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Okay, you, and pick somebody, and get them to come. You say, well, I don't know. They might influence my family wrong. Oh, quit. What are you talking about? Invite somebody over your house and love them. Encourage them. Cook for them. You're the one saying amen because you want somebody to invite you over. But invite some families over, honestly, for real. Look for new members in the church. New members. I told Brandon Jenkins, we were out eating the other day together, and I told Brandon, I said, I feel like that we fall so short with new members. I feel like they come and nobody takes them in. And he said, old preacher, he said, no. He said, I visited different churches, and he said, I'll tell you for sure, I've received more people coming to my house from Parkside Baptist Church than anybody else that has ever come by from any church that I've ever been a member of or been a part of. And all right, now, can I tell you this? I think that's a wonderful thing, but I still feel like we fall way short. We're such busy people, aren't we? And by the way, you can't blame that on the church. You can't blame that on your business. That's the way life is. Welcome to the U.S. of A. But now, I'm saying this. Take some time. You might only can do it once a month. But invite some people over. You might only can do it every other week. You might can only do it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Okay, I was kidding. Families, invite them over. Now, listen to this, and I'm done. A family could encourage a missionary through correspondence. Encourage them. I'm so excited. And I talked to Mrs. Juarez about this, and she's given me some ideas about some things that happened where they attended and helping me to be able to start a missionary support type of program where you encourage the missionaries to come and encourage that you're praying for them and letting them know. And man, what an exciting thing for you and your family to be able to do, to encourage a missionary. You know, Brother Westbrook, he's one of our new members, and he's a missionary. And I would text Brother Westbrook every week. I'll text him, "How you doing?" You know, a short thing. It's not long. But he said, "That is so neat." I was talking to his son Aaron the other day on the phone and called Aaron up and just spending some time with Aaron on the phone. Okay, and you know, that is so important, if you will, to be able to let people know. And I know we're busy. I have different secretaries that do different things. And Mrs. Cavanaugh, of course, is the secretary that's over all of the secretaries in the church as far as giving instructions and helping and guiding when needed. But Rebecca Combes will come in, and she'll come in, and I'll say, "Okay, bring your tablet." And I will dictate a letter. Now, can I tell you, I am trying very, very hard to get more letters out to more preachers and to more church members and to more people that need encouragement. I'm trying to kick them out every day. You know why? Because people do need that encouragement. People do need that help. People do need somebody that says, "I am praying for you, I am for you, I am helping. If I can help for you, I want to do that." Now, you can do stuff like that as a family. You can do stuff like that. You know, it's been neat. I tell you for sure, it's been neat. I go by and I see little Jeremiah, and some of you have done a tremendous job in going by and loving on that dear young man. I walked in the room just the other day, and as I walked in the room, man, there's balloons everywhere. And he knows where each one of them came from. Each one of them. Hello? You know, and he's got this basket full of stuff he can't eat. But he knows who brought every single one of those things. Now, weak as all get out, but is mindful of people coming by. Can I tell you, the Christian life is more than just about you. The Christian life is about the Lord working through you to help somebody, encourage somebody, give out the gospel to somebody. And God can and will use you. But invest as a family.